Hey everyone, you're listening to the LFC Podcasting Couch, and this episode's brought to you by Pharmacy Mart, Fairfield, New South Wales. Now, if you mention this podcast to the team, you'll receive 20% off their entire vitamin and sports supplement range. That's Pharmacy Mart opposite the Fairfield train station. And if you want any more location details, head to pharmacymart.com.au. Now, let's get on with the show.
Lovely cushion header. Pacheco!
Hello and welcome to episode 89 of the LFC Podcasting Couch. I'm Rich and I am massively excited to introduce my guest to you today. It's a bro pod, everybody. Nish, we have wrestled him out of his bed this morning and he's also going to be joining alongside me, big time Matty Lyne, and Nadzi has joined us as well. Hello, gents.
Hello, Rich.
How are we?
Very well, thank you.
Yeah, it's all good. This is nice, getting the bros back together again. It feels very familiar, very pubby.
It's been some time.
It's been way too long.
I just want to point out that it was you wrestling Nish out of bed, Rich, not me.
Well, you know, at the end of the day, it's a dirty job, but someone's got to do it.
With the vibrate of my phone, I should just add.
Don't go into too much detail, Nish.
Yeah, it was really nice of you guys to book this for 7:30 a.m. my time and then call me at 6:30 a.m. That was really nice.
Oh, you're welcome.
Well, it was awesome. It was just a time zoning issue.
wants to get you warmed up as well, because we know that you like your morning coffee, so we thought let's give him an hour to warm up and get him suitably sort of engaged and ready for the podcast.
I may need another one halfway through this as well, so if I get silent for about 10 minutes, you'll know exactly why.
That's not a problem. So obviously the first question we have to ask is, what did you dream about? What game did you were you playing in?
I actually did dream of football, but it was weird. I was dreaming of Andy Robertson.
Oh, no.
big old Andy Robertson running down the left, cutting it inside. Beautiful. It was a great dream. I had a good time.
Did he have a good time, though? Don't be selfish now.
I can tell by the look in his face. He's always having a good time. As soon as he strips on, hopefully, that Liverpool top. Woof. Boy, oh boy, madness will ensue.
Oh, will it ever. Big time Matty Lyne, where are you, my friend? Where's those dulcet scouse tones?
Right here, Rich.
Ah, there he is. How are you, sir?
Very well, thank you. Yes, just enjoying a nice glass of wine while enjoying listening to you guys.
Gotta love that. How's life up in the Liverpool country?
Very good, very good. The only problem at the moment is the dearth of Premiership football, which I'm sadly missing and looking forward to returning.
Is anyone finding it difficult this close season this time? I don't know. It seems weird.
Yeah, it's tough. It's I hate any summer that doesn't have a major tournament in it. I find it really long, and there's a massive gap in the weekends where the football used to be.
Yeah, there's a Women's Euros coming up in... it starts on Saturday, doesn't it?
I don't know, to be honest.
No one paying attention to the women's football. That's nice equality for you here on the podcasting couch. Nish, you'll be watching it, aren't you?
No.
No.
what time zone is that in?
I've no idea. I've not a clue. Don't even know where they're playing, actually. Is it Germany?
Yeah,
no one knows.
That'd be a big fat no then.
Yeah, so
I'm struggling with the Confed Cup because it's on right now and I really want to watch it, but
Emery hasn't started for Germany, so don't worry about it. No one cares.
Yeah, it's all good. Yeah.
It is all good. So the first friendly game is what, 13 days away? Is it 13 days? It's not long, is it?
12
days. Is
that the Singapore or Hong Kong game or something?
I think it is, isn't it?
We've got games against Tranmere and also I think it's Wigan, I think, or Wrexham. We have before we go away on tour.
Oh, right. Yeah, there's definitely a Tranmere game. I know that.
So is Klopp doing the same as we did last pre-season, where we start off with sort of a very, very low league team, and then we slowly work our way up until we get to playing the bigger sides? What, we crescendoed with Barcelona, didn't we, last season? Was it Barca at Wembley?
Pretty much.
Do you want me to quickly read them out or just look them up? I can read them all out if you like.
You're such a professional, Nish.
Well. Yeah, carry on, Nish. Crack on.
All right. Well, 12th, Wednesday the 12th, is Tranmere Rovers away. Then the 14th, 2 days later, Wigan. And then the 19th is the Asia Trophy. So it's the 19th and the 22nd. That's, where is that, Hong Kong?
Think so.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, first game's Crystal Palace. Second game is to be confirmed, i.e. whoever it is. We're playing in the final of this amazing trophy. First trophy of the year for any other club. then 29th on a Saturday is Hertha Berlin, Germany. Then Bayern Munich on the Audi Cup. That's the 1st of August. Mm-hmm. 2nd of August is the game after. Then is the 5th of August.
My birthday.
Ooh, 5th of August, your birthday. Turning a whopping 21.
Indeed. Oh,
and then Premier League starts on the 12th. But does anyone know when the qualifiers for the Champions League?
No, and I'm waiting to hear, because I also wanted to know whether, as a part of the Auto Cup scheme, whether I'm guaranteed a home ticket on that.
Okay, so guys, so the actual, obviously once the draw is made, the first leg is, I believe, the 15th and 16th of August. And then the second leg is going to be the week after, so the 22nd / 23rd of August.
Okay, when's the draw?
So the draw, I believe, is around the first week of August, I think.
Oh, they're making us wait. They're sweating on this.
Yeah, I mean, I know when the fixtures are. I'm not entirely certain as to when the draw is actually taking place. I just know when the fixtures are going to be taking place. So I'm guessing that it will be probably beginning of August. And then we just have to wait and see in terms of how that pans out, because obviously we have Premier League games that kind of dovetail between those fixtures anyway.
So officially we're playing 8 games in August. Officially. Bayern Munich, to be confirmed. So.
Yeah. There's a couple of important things to say about the information we just received. The first one is that, Rich, do you have like an Amazon wish list that you want to announce for your birthday, so listeners can send presents and stuff?
I just want to do a bro podcast. That'll do me. Just be with my buddies.
Oh, what a guy. I've already got your present in the mail, by the way. It just got confirmed that it's being shipping.
Oh.
I'm going to get your present now.
Get in. Can't wait for that to arrive.
I'm well ahead of the other bros. I'm sorry, but I care. Clearly those guys don't.
Absolutely. Well, I'm sure, you know, to be fair, and I don't want to throw anybody under the bus, Nish, but I'm going to. We were all supposed to be getting together to go out for a steak night on my birthday, and this lot have all dumped me to go off to Munich, Belfast, and go and watch the footy.
Whoa, Rich, be fair. I didn't dump you, Rich. I'd still be there.
Ooh. Yeah, I'm more than likely going to be in Dublin.
Nazi's the Judas in this.
Yeah, and so, you know, so I'm the one that's kind of said, listen, I can't make it because I'm going to be watching Liverpool versus Athletic Bilbao. So, with about 4 friends from university. So,
yeah, he's real friends.
No, you're my real friends.
So we'll get an exclusive report from Nads for the podcast, no doubt.
Yeah, absolutely, live. He can do one in a hotel room straight after the game.
I would like to say that would be a negative on that. I'll gladly FaceTime all 3 of you from somewhere around Grafton Street, half inebriated.
I'll be busy having steak with Matty.
Hey.
I'll be recording it and then posting it as a podcast.
Good man, Mitch.
Get those numbers up, boys.
Episode 108, Natty falls into the Liffey.
God, I love that one. Can I just say, by the way, Nish, well done on your figures, by the way, buddy. There's some great figures coming out at the moment and some great pods. I've been listening to the podcast and I've been really, really enjoying what I've been hearing. And there's a lot of, the thing is, with it being the close season, and I don't know about the rest of you, I don't even want to talk about transfers at the minute. I'm so fed up with the whole thing. But there's been some really good stuff going out there. And I think George has been brilliant. Really enjoyed the stuff that he's been doing as well. And I just think it's fascinating now to see how the pods are developing, and the conversation and the level of conversation that's going on, I think has been really, really good. And I think that reflects in the figures. And I'm not just saying that because I now host a podcast on the couch.
In saying that, this is the very first pod that you're hosting, isn't it?
Well, so, technically, the one we did that was just a trial was me hosting, but you did kind of butt in and took it over. But
that's true, actually.
Yeah, we're all prepared that if you try and take this one over, you're going to get slammed by all three of us. So it's fine.
No, I just to touch on what you said, Rich, around some of the pods recently. Obviously, I mentioned it in terms of enjoying, you know, the coach on the couch, and I mentioned it in a tweet that should be a bit of a series whereby he gives people tips on coaching, and people kind of throw questions out to him that he can answer on the podcast around how he got into coaching, or in terms of what's the best way to kind of develop some of the youth that he's kind of coached at the minute, because he has insider knowledge in terms of, you know, helping, you know, mould young minds in terms of their football intelligence. And I think that'd be a great thing for people to kind of tap into. And obviously the one that George did around his Illuminati stuff, but I think above all, and I saw the video, I've not listened to it, but I saw the video of the podcast as well. And the one that he had Shawnee on the other day around the Make the Wish and everything else,
yes,
just sent me sideways to the point where I was watching it and my eyeballs were sweating. I was just thinking, do you know what? I said, he came from left field, that he just came out of nowhere and he said what he did. And it kind of threw me as much as it threw Nish when he was actually doing the pod. And I thought, hold on a minute, what's going on here? But it's such a wonderful story that, you know, he's doing really well now. And I think to have someone like that on the podcast and to have new fans on the podcast have such a story to tell, absolutely goes beyond football. And you're talking about things that are so much more important. But it's kind of nice that he linked it into Liverpool in terms of his Make-A-Wish. And in doing that, I just thought it was a fantastic podcast.
Yeah. And from all of us over here in the UK, Shawnee, glad everything went well. Glad that you're out there having a great time, and good luck with everything in the future. Make sure you get back on the couch and spend some more time with Nish, because I think that'll be great. I haven't listened to George and Pete doing the scouting report yet. That's the one I've held off of listening to, because I want to have a full hour just to kind of crash out and tune into that.
It's really popular too. It's a solid pod. It's a second most popular one in the last week. So it's really funny. You'll hear them. They're like, I know YouTube scouting sucks, but we're going to do it anyway. They watch like two or three videos on each player, then they talk about what they've picked up from YouTube on these two or three videos. And one's a highlight reel and the other one is an actual, you know, one of the Mr. Boy Wonder every touch in the game, that kind of thing. And they go through defense, center backs, left back, right back, midfielders, strikers. It's pretty interesting. And, you know, a good, what a great asset to pick up in the coach, by the way, as you said before. He's just such a smart guy. So I'm enjoying having him over and hearing his thoughts.
I think it's a really good coup. And I think George and the coach, I think there's such a great dynamic on their podcast. I just really enjoyed listening to them speak about stuff like that. And, you know, have a good laugh about certain things and just the whole kind of, like I said, the way they just dovetail one another in terms of on their podcast, I think it's a great thing, and I think I'm looking forward to any future ones they do together as well.
I've got an idea, Nish, a possible expansion for the LFC podcasting couch. Maybe you could set up the LFC podcasting couch players agency, and you could find potential players on YouTube and then try and flog them to Premiership clubs and take a big cut. Awesome. Take a big cut of the transfers in the process.
I'm sure
if you send a few YouTube links to Harry Redknapp, he'll buy one of them, maybe.
He would definitely take them. Who was the team? Was it Everton who admitted that they did a lot of their scouting via Championship Manager? I think it was Everton. I'm sure it was. It was David Moyes or someone. It came out like 5 years ago.
There's definitely been stories of players being signed, and the only time the club has seen them is on the basis of a YouTube clip.
Was that Bebe to Manchester United?
Hey, Bebe.
Quite possibly could have been him, but I know there were other ones as well, you know, and I just think the old sort of process of scouts going out and flying out and seeing players, I think that's what the game was born with, born from. And I think that's how it should be. I mean, you look at Liverpool in general, a lot of our ex-players, like Agger, who's obviously back in Denmark, just have him, if he can't be an ambassador or be a coach, have him be a scout for the Scandinavian region. He's going to attract great players also along those lines.
The current Liverpool scouting network is all done online, you know. It's it's an exclusive website called Southampton FC TV.
I mean, to be honest, people talk about who we should buy, whether we should buy, you know, Van Dijk or have you. I just think, listen, the Van Dijk deal works out great. If it doesn't, just literally poach all their scouting department. Just get every single one of them and say, listen, just come to Liverpool and we'll double your wages and just join for the next window.
That would be a lot cheaper than paying 70 million quid for Van Dijk.
Yeah.
Certainly would. I mean, is it me or is this transfer window, even though it's not open, although technically it is open, they just can't announce them until whatever date it is in July, a couple of days time or whatever. Is it me or is it just a really weird transfer window at the moment? I mean, it's almost like I get a feeling that we're going to look back on the Mo Salah signing and think he's an absolute bargain by the time we get to the end of this transfer window with the kind of prices and figures that are bouncing around. And it just feels to me like one big signing, one big move, and all of a sudden it's going to kick off the gravy train and everything's going to go nuts.
I don't know. I think it's a bit weird. I know there's a certain expectation that there'll suddenly be a flurry of activity, but there are a couple of clubs who are getting business done. City have made a few moves, and I hate to say it, but Everton have as well. So
yeah, but Nish did a bit on this. Nish, you did a bit on this, didn't you? We're not that far out with everybody else, are we?
Well, you mean the retweet that I did?
Yeah. Oh, was it a retweet? Yeah. Okay.
It was just a retweet of someone else. There was only one mistake in there. People have said that Arsenal hadn't made a signing, but they have signed Kolasinac.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah.
But that was it. It was everyone else. No one's made more than two signings except Everton. Now have made three a signing, but again, it's a goalkeeper. We knew they needed a goalkeeper.
England's number nine, isn't he?
Goalkeeper last season who just stood still while we kicked three or four goals past him. So. Sure. And then Klaassen, I mean, he looks all right, but then, you know, they're from the Dutch league and they're usually hit and miss, aren't they? You know, goals the size, you know, twice the size of normal goals over there. So, I've never been scared of Everton anyway.
And I'm not bothered, and I mentioned this before, I'm not bothered about who other people buy. I'm only concerned with who we buy. But you're going to be appreciative of good players. And I think Klaassen's a good player. I think Pickford's a good signing for them. You know, I think some of the other signings have gone on are good signings or have you, but I think when people are kind of getting ahead of themselves and saying, you know, so-and-so is going to happen, they say it's all irrelevant. It's a case of, look, you know, Klopp has a definitive plan in place. He has a list of targets. But the two that we know of that are very, that have been very sort of publicised and very vocal about in terms of social media and in terms of they look like they're definitely his first choices, obviously Naby Keita and obviously Virgil van Dijk. Aside from that, he knows who he wants. He has everything in place. We entrust him in terms of what he's doing. If it was the 29th of July, I'd be a little bit concerned in terms of if we only made two signings that we've done. But we have another month until that point in time anyway. And I think once one or two deals get done, it's like last season, three or four can get done very quickly. We don't have to work on one deal. We're a multi-million pound business. We can work on three or four deals in one go and then get them shut down. But people think, oh, if a deal's not done, we're not doing anything. Well, have a little bit of patience.
That's a really good point, actually, Nance. And just picking up on what you said about three or four deals, you know, being done or being in the pipeline at the same time. I don't know whether you guys read the question and answer session with James Pearce in the Echo today.
I haven't. I've seen it, but I haven't read it yet.
I haven't read it as yet, no.
I've been sleeping.
I got the impression from that it's well worth a read because he addresses a lot of questions that have been coming up over the last few weeks. But I got the impression, and again, it might be misinformed just by my brief reading of the article, but the peers seem to think that we're still in the mix for Keita and Van Dijk. And that the club seem to be waiting to see what will happen in relation to those players before pursuing other targets. And that rather worried me because I would have thought that we would be pursuing multiple targets on the basis of the strong possibility that those potential transfers won't come off in order to make sure that we do get our second or third choice when the time comes. But I was just interested to think what you guys think about that, whether you hold out for your first choice and get them at all costs, or whether you draw a line under it, as I think we would be wise to do, I think, in relation to Van Dijk, and go for someone else instead.
It's interesting, isn't it? I think this comes down to Klopp and what route he wants to take. I think there's an argument where they turn around to Klopp and say, look, we're willing to invest potentially 140 million on these two players, or we look at this target and this guy, but they're going to be squad fillers, bench warmers, possibly come in and do a number here. What do you want to do? And I think there's an argument that if Klopp really wants him, he'll turn around and say, screw the budget. Let's just go ahead and do it. But I think for me, I'm not so worried about that now. And I think they can sit back and watch a little bit, but I don't think they will be sitting back. I'm sure there's loads of other stuff going on. What I do think has happened, and I think Nish and I spoke about this a few times, is that the silence at the moment is absolutely golden around Anfield. It's such a relief that we've learnt the lesson from Van Dijk. And actually, I still don't think it was Liverpool that leaked it, although there is the rumour it was Michael Owen, and we're all on the let's hate Owen. But I think, you know, this fact that everyone's suddenly gone quiet, I think is a really, really good sign for us. I think that it means that we've learned our lessons and we're going, right, you know what? Let's just get it done quietly, efficiently. Let's go about our business and sort it. And I think ultimately it's what does he want? Does he want two players that will transform a squad? Or does he want to get a load of other players that he can work at? I'm more concerned that Aubameyang's clearing off to China.
Well, that was another thing that I think, again, just going on memory, that was mentioned in the Pierce article, was that there was never any real serious interest in Aubameyang.
Yeah, I heard this as well, actually, that Klopp wasn't bothered. I think we're going with a fluid front four, aren't we, guys?
What it said, I think, in the article was that unless Sturridge says that he wants to leave and goes, then Klopp will be satisfied with the forward options that he has at the moment.
And I think those options are absolutely fine. I think as much as I love Aubameyang as a player, and I think he's a fantastic centre forward in terms of what he has. I mentioned this to Rich earlier today, I think, when other teams are supposedly linked to him but don't come in with concrete bids, bar the exception of Paris Saint-Germain, it says something as to whether his character is in question as opposed to his actual ability to play football. You know, because Klopp bought him for Dortmund. Now, surely if Klopp held him in such high esteem that he valued him and put an attributable value on him saying he's worth 60 million or what have you, he would do all he could to bring him into the club if he felt that he was the perfect player for us. Clearly, that isn't something that maybe is in his plan. So, you know, Klopp has a list of players and multiple options for each position. And I'll touch on what Rich said around some of the silence being golden. It is, because forget about what's happened on Twitter and all the drivel that's kind of been posted by everyone and anyone around who they think people might sign and what have you. It makes no difference. Until there's an official line on it, that's the only thing that people should really pay attention to. And I think where the Virgil van Dijk thing was very public, and obviously we made an apology and kind of did that, everyone taps up players and everyone goes about that the way of doing it. The fact is, we just weren't snide enough like a lot of other clubs, and we kind of just didn't do it as well as other clubs did, which is one of those things that it's a learning, you know. And I don't think Klopp would take that upon himself and say, do you know what, that's a lesson that we need to learn. Because if that's his number one target, and it's very clear that it is, then obviously he's not going to be happy that the guy had agreed to kind of sign for us and we'd had something in place, but Southampton just turned and said, listen, no, it's not going to happen. But I don't think we should dwell on it. I think what you mentioned around having deals completed, I think that Klopp's probably got a date in mind in terms of who he wants in and how many players he wants in by a certain time in terms of the first team players and those that can play in the first 11. And I think if those first choices aren't one that can be done, then his second choice players, which are going to improve the squad anyway and be fantastic signings, then those should be done with swiftness and get those in and get those training.
Yeah,
I think the other thing that I read in the article that worried me was that it was mentioned that a new left back is a priority, but that it seemed to hinge on getting rid of Moreno before getting someone in. Now, to me, even if Moreno says, I want to sit on my backside and see out my contract, even if I'm never going to play for the club again, we still need to get a proper left back into the team. Milner's done a solid job, but it's time that we got someone who's a specialist in that area.
No, I agree. I think I've said that. I banged the drum for Jonas Hector for a couple of years now, and I think, you know, and I have a number of other options, you know, that I'd have on that list, and one being the one, obviously Nish is a big fan of, you know, being Robertson. But I think for Moreno, obviously the interest has come obviously from Lazio, but I think Lazio or Napoli or whatever. But I just think if the interest comes from Spain, I think it's a certain value, i.e. 12, 13 million pounds, I think we're more inclined to accept that and let him go back to Spain. I think he probably will move, but I think he prefers a move back home.
I think he needs to as well, because his language barrier as well has hindered him, but being in England, and he hasn't really learned that much English. So I think he would definitely prefer a move back to Spain too, for him as a player. I did want to bring up something else. Yeah, sorry.
No, carry on.
It just one other thing. When it comes to our squad players, in inverted commas, how good does it feel where our squad players are people like Oxlade-Chamberlain? You know, these are the people that we're now targeting as our squad players rather than Ragnar Klavan and stuff. And no disrespect to him at all, but we're not targeting the £5 million squad player now. We're targeting the £25 million squad player, if, again, the rumours are true. I think that's going to bode very, very well for us, where we are filling our bench with quality. And these players will know straight away, hey, look, if you join us, we've already got Genie, we've got Lallana, we've got Jan, we've got Henderson in the midfield. Ox, if you're going to join us, I can't guarantee you 38 starts in the season, but I think you're going to be very, very important to us. Will he still play? And, you know, if he says yes, he says yes. And he'll, you know, fight his way to play for a person like Klopp. I hope we're targeting more people of that ilk to become our squad players.
I think you're absolutely right.
Yeah, exactly. I agree with what you said. I think, with the exception of kind of Robertson being linked or being spoken about, I think what you said around, if you bring in three more signings for the first team, for example, and you spend 140 million for argument's sake on those three players, including, you know, Mohamed Salah, you have four first team players and you have four people that may come out of the team. Automatically, three quarters of your bench is stronger anyway. So you know, it's a win-win situation that, like you said, when you're linked to players of that quality and they're in the 25, 30 million pound bracket as a squad player, it says a lot from, as you mentioned, right, you know, Klavan, that you move on from that in the space of just a short time anyway. And I think that's the kind of mentality and that's the kind of blueprint that Klopp kind of had previously at Dortmund in his second and third season, albeit with a smaller budget. But now that, obviously, with Liverpool, there's more money there. There's clearly we've got a big budget. It's a case of, well, we were saying, well, go and spend the 40 or 50 million. Well, it's a negotiation process. You don't just go in and say, we're going to pay the asking price. You try and negotiate. But my only criticism would be is that you negotiate in a swifter manner and you get things done rather than kind of dilly-dallying over certain things. If they want 45 million, you offer 35 million. Get the deal done at 38, 39 million rather than starting at 18 million and then going up to 25 million. $30 million.
It's a different shopping experience now, isn't it? And I think that's the important thing. You know, we're no longer going into a shop where they turn around and go, would you like a carrier bag with that? It's an extra 5p. We're now in the stores where they're turning around and saying, would you like us to gift wrap that for you and we'll put some nice scented petals and this, that and the other. And it has a totally different feel and a different ambience to it. Interestingly enough, because we're around the 10:30 mark, and I know how excited everybody gets at the 10:30 news that never comes out. I'm just having a look at the headlines for the morning. So according to the Mirror, we are ready to test the water with a bid of 70 million for Leipzig midfielder. Emre Can.
Jerno nobody as well, apparently, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Anderson or something.
Absolutely. Emre Can and Germany going to the Confederation Cup final. Emre set up the winning goal. According to the Daily Mail, we're looking to offload Markovic for around 12 million.
Well, that's an obvious one. I think everyone and his dog has kind of quoted that kind of price anyway. So
yeah. But this is the mainstream press rather than ITKs that are just chucking all this out. The Daily Mail are also saying Liverpool are interested in Hull left back Andrew Robertson.
Come on.
Andrew.
What else have we got?
He doesn't have one on the back of his shirt. He doesn't have Robertson number 3 on the back of his shirt.
If we sign Robertson, I'm going to buy Andy Robertson. That's it. I'm saying you right now.
But Nish, what you have to do, what Mohamed Salah did for his video, whereby he points his fingers and points his thumbs at the number and then turns around and pops his chest, you have to do that with your Robertson
absolutely
number.
Yeah, definitely.
Absolutely.
But I have made a promise, like, as soon as, if it's confirmed that Woodburn is staying and if he gets a new number, as soon as it's done, I'm buying a Woodburn shirt. So,
nice. I've just packaged my Firmino 11 shirt to send off to go and get it signed.
Nice.
Before I go and buy yet another shirt from the thieving gets.
You'll never see that again, Rich.
No, well, I'm sending it recorded delivery, my friend. We'll see how it goes. But you know what it's like when it goes into Scousy Land.
I could scribble something on the back for you if you want.
I bet you could. LFC have rebuffed a host of loan approaches for Shay Ojo, amongst them including Newcastle, Burnley and Middlesbrough. That's according to James Pearce, ladies and gentlemen.
Seems pretty realistic too.
It does seem realistic. There's a lot of reports. Apparently the plan is for Ojo to report to Melwood to do pre-season with Klopp so he can assess where he stands in his plans. That rhymes, which is nice. Anything else that we've got? I'm just having a flick through. There's a child flicking its middle finger. No, that's pretty much it. That's all we've got. So it seems to be the same old news just being regurgitated and a bit of a lucky stab in the dark. How do we feel about Shay Ojo and being linked out on a loan?
I like him, and I think he impressed to an extent in terms of his cameo appearances in the Under-20 World Cup. But I do think, you know, now he's over kind of some niggling injuries, that maybe Klopp sees him as maybe giving him a crack in pre-season and seeing how he does in a few of those games. And then if he kind of makes a judgment saying, do you know what, you're not going to figure in my plans and we've got until the 31st of August, then I'm happy for you to go on loan before the 12th of August to go to Newcastle. But I think he'll assess it over the next 4 to 6 weeks and see just exactly what he's going to offer.
This is a really interesting thing, actually, because I've heard in relation to a few players, Ojo included, that Klopp intends to assess them during pre-season before deciding whether they're surplus to requirements or should go on loan or whatever. But most of these players have been there for a while, and so I would have thought that Klopp would have a handle on their capabilities and would be able to make these decisions already. Or do you think that he bases his views on form and how a player has developed over time? But as I say, my first instinct was, well, why does he need to look at them in preseason? These are players who've been there for a substantial period of time, and he's already seen them. So why the delay? Why not get the business done now?
Ojo's been injured. Karen.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Mine's quick anyway. For players like Ojo, Ajaria, we won't say Dumb Slanky, but for those two in particular, they just won a World Cup. Can you imagine coming back to England, coming back to your club with a World Cup in your chest and just going, I'm 10 foot tall. I'm ready to actually make that step mentally into that first team mold. I think that's going to play a big part. If that reaction doesn't happen now for Ojo and Ajaria to come back into Liverpool with the World Cup and feel like they deserve to be in the first team and that they are going to play like it, then there's something wrong. And I think that's what Klopp's going to look at.
For those players, I totally agree. I thought that them having that experience in that World Cup tournament was fantastic for us and fantastic for them. And they should, you're quite right, take that step up. But there are players who haven't been involved in those tournaments or haven't been injured. For example, and you'll love this, Rich, the goalkeeping position, apparently Klopp intends to look at all three keepers during pre-season and then decide who's going to be his number one going forward. To me, that's the kind of decision that should already be made or should be obvious. Again, maybe it's down to my ignorance, and maybe it's the fact that he wants to see how they perform and how informed they are before making a decision. But it just seems to me that he should have seen enough already for players like that.
But doesn't he have to say that? surely Klopp has to turn around and go, well, I'm going to look at everybody and see how they look. And because otherwise, if he turns around and goes, honestly, guys, you can come in for pre-season if you like, but I already know who my 11 are and I know what my bench is and I know who I'm going to have sitting in reserve so the rest of you guys can jog on. He's never going to do that realistically, is he? So I think you're right, Matty. He should know who his starting 11 is. And I think he has his starting 11 in his head. And right now, that may well include Virgil van Dijk. It may include Naby Keita. It may include others. It might even have Oxbow Chambo in there. Who knows? But I think he will know what he wants and where he sees this going. And I think he will have known that since the middle of last season.
No, I agree. He said that... No, carry on, Ish.
No, you go, because I've cut you off like four times.
He has, and I'm going to yellow card you if you carry on.
Big fishness.
I think with Klopp, and he did a very similar thing in terms of at Dortmund as well, is that he always said that he would assess the players over a full season, which he has now done. You know, he didn't want to assess them kind of coming in October, having... Don't forget, he inherited a squad that their confidence was literally at sort of the bottom that it could have been. You know, he picked them up from their shoelace and kind of developed that culture whereby he empowered them. And I think the first full season, you know, sort of under his kind of management, he's looked at the players and kind of I fully feel that he knows exactly who his best 11. He knows exactly who he wants. He knows exactly who he's going to sign or try to sign. But as Nish pointed, it's a very good point around Ajari and Ojo around them winning the World Cup, and also Dom Solanke being part of that. You've got three players like that coming back to pre-season. They're going to want to prove a point, and good on them. I think they deserve a crack at doing that. But the rest of the players, in terms of assessing them, I think, as both Matty and also Rich, what you just said around, he's not going to come out and say, well, I'm going to get rid of 7-8 players, because he shoots himself in the foot by saying then, effectively, he wants to recruit 6 or 7 players or 7 or 8 players. And then people say, oh, you know, Jurgen Klopp's on the lookout for 7 or 8 players. Let's hike our price up even further. You know, he's going to come out and he's going to support people because that's the type of guy that he is. But I'm under no impression, under no illusion, that he'll do the same thing that he did at Dortmund with utter ruthlessness. He knows exactly who he wants and exactly who's going. And they'll be aware of that when they report back in pre-season.
I think what's also amusing is, you know, all these videos and stuff that are coming out at the moment. So we've seen Lallana on what looks like Brighton Beach. It looked freezing wherever he was, doing his workout. Who else has been doing videos?
Karius
has done his video. There's a few others that have been putting their videos. Hendo's put out a video. I think Millie's put out.
Yeah, but forget all their videos. The best thing I've seen on Twitter is Gini Wijnaldum in Miami wearing a Rascal shirt, just looking like a simp daddy of Miami.
Well, this...
Anything else would be relevant. They have all their fitness videos and everything else. It looks like a gangster rap album cover.
Nadzi, this was the point that I was about to make. The funniest thing is, so there's all these lads giving it the full look at me in my video. This is what I'm doing to keep fit. Have you seen the state of Firmino and Coutinho? They're absolutely leathered every single night. Snapchat is just with Firmino with glazed over eyes. And I know he hasn't got a drink in his hand, but he looks trollied.
Now, come on, Rich. You can't know that for sure. They might just be happy.
Yeah, he's happy, all right. I've seen his missus. No wonder he's happy, but he's happy, you know? Wow.
Hey guys, on that point, you mentioned who was it? Nancy just mentioned the hip hop covers or whatever it was.
Gini,
the album covers.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely, so phenomenal.
If you're not following him already on Twitter, follow Dinesh Kumar, who is Dhardayal, Dhardayal. That's, yeah, anyway, follow him. So he's actually created a series of photos where he's taken the photographs of our players while they're on holidays and turn them into rap albums. It is awesome. So definitely follow it. I'll see if I can retweet it on my account.
Are you sure this isn't you with one of your fake accounts?
Could be.
I'm not ruling it out. I saw the Gucci Mane one. That one made me laugh.
It's great, isn't it?
Just under an hour ago, I saw that. What was on the pod, and it's the Dejan Lovren one is brilliant. The Childish Gambino one.
Absolutely brilliant. Love this guy.
I've not seen it. I'll have to get on it.
That's pretty cool. And the Bobby Firmino one is pretty cool as well. They all are, to be honest.
This brings me nicely onto my next point and what I wanted to chat with all of you, because it's so, can't tell you how good it is to have all of us together on a pod. Just loving this evening. What have you seen on Twitter that's really made you laugh this week? And I know I should be Liverpool related, but you know what? To hell with it. It doesn't even have to be Liverpool related. What have you seen on Twitter that's really made you chuckle or made you go, wow, this week?
For me, the most funniest thing I've seen all week, and I'm going to say this because I know it's going to, you guys might mention it as well, but seeing as I've gone first, I'll get in there, is that our CEO is an utter rock star.
Round of applause for the CEO, everybody.
Yes. Jeez. Mr. Peter Moore.
When it comes to Twitter and people saying, you know, what kind of banter has he got? I just like the fact that he did one just earlier today as well, when someone posted an innocent comment around by Werner. And he said he referred to, obviously, Tom Werner, the owner, saying, you know, Tom's a great guy, but I think he's over the hill when it comes to being a first-team starter. It's like the level of kind of, you know, obviously, some of it is very witty. You know, he's got a great sort of repertoire of kind of responses to people. And I think, do you know what? People talk about a lack of engagement from people in senior positions. They talk about the fact that, you know, maybe people don't kind of touch base with their fan base. He's been absolutely brilliant. And more than anything else, he's been absolutely hilarious, which I think is just brilliant.
Yeah, I think it's classic, isn't it? Because I'm getting so bored. It doesn't matter what LFC tweet. It doesn't matter what they put out. Literally, the comments are just sign this, announce that, sign this, do that. Do you know what? Announce your retirement off of Twitter and just get off my feed, because I am sick and tired of all of you just constantly gobbing off the same old garbage over and over again. And do you know what? I don't care if I get the hate for it. It's so boring. There used to be a time, I remember, when you used to look underneath the comments and there'd be some relatively intellectual and quite good comments about, yeah, I think it'd be a really good, it'd be this, it'd be that. And now it doesn't matter. And it doesn't even have to be Liverpool related. They put a tweet out today about, I think they're screening some of the away games at Anfield. And they've put
They did that last year.
Yeah, and they're doing it again this season. And they've got one of the legends is going to be there as well. And I think they're putting on some food and stuff and blah, blah, blah. And literally the next...
I've been, Richard. It's good. Yeah. They do them in the Carlsberg dugout. And Phil Neal was there.
Of course they do, Matty. And of course you've been.
Quality food as well.
Of course, Matty.
It's all good.
Yeah, big time Matty Line, who only ever goes corporate. Never see him in the chili stands or on the cop. Always in the cushy seats. That's with a little bit of heating.
That's not true.
It's almost true.
The prawn cocktails.
Oh.
I wish.
Oh,
I wish.
They don't even do those in the posh bit, I don't think. But and even on that, the next 20 comments afterwards was, you know, announce this, sign that, do this, do that, do one. Seriously, just get off, just go. Because it's just, and that's the thing that's really frustrating me at the moment. And it's almost to a point where, do you know what? I just like the window to shut now. Let's just shut the window now and let's just move on, because it's just really starting to do my nutting. There's some really, really good people out there. There's some really intellectual comment. There's some really good podcasts and chat. But there's just so much rubbish, and it's just boring. These people need to get a life, seriously.
And I agree, but the rubbish can be easily avoided. And I scroll past it, you know, on my old account, I used to kind of mute it or auto-block it or whatever, but obviously on my new account, it's okay. I just scroll past all of it, Rich. The people that kind of, you know, James Pearce, I look at his account, I look at the official one, I look at, obviously, your accounts and a few other friends and stuff, but the rest of it, I don't even bother looking at. So I don't get annoyed by it. I don't get pissed off by it or anything of that nature. It's a case of it's there. I don't need to read it. I can scroll past it and ignore it. As soon as something official is announced, great. If it's not, then it's not. But it's a case of all these people keep saying, announce this, announce that. It's like, just, you know, go outside and just get some fresh air or do something better with your time or something.
Some of it's very negative and poisonous. Yeah. I can understand why people get sick of it. But some of it as well just displays the tweeter's own ignorance, and some of it can be quite amusing. The most amusing thing I saw recently was someone tweeting that they thought Ross Barkley was going to move to Liverpool. So.
Oh, dear. Yeah, right.
And they made out that this was some kind of top secret info that they'd gleaned from somewhere. And that's just a transfer that's never going to happen. So when we sign Ross Barkley for 70 million, you can play this back to me.
Jeez.
Could you imagine the meltdown if that happened? It would be worth it just for it. Yes, Nish.
Can I go back to old mate Peter Moore?
Oh, go for it.
I've just kind of gone through one of my analytical brain melting moments.
Hello.
And I've realized he is actually an absolute genius. You know why? You remember Fergie, how basically whenever his players were really crap, he would do whatever he needed to do to detract the attention away from his players and take all the heat himself or blame a ref or something like that. Mm-hmm. Peter Moore has saved Linda a load of abuse. I think he is unprotected his account, which he wasn't. It was protected before for a long time. Unprotected it, gone out. He has been the nicest dude in the world, but you can see all the trolls have moved from Linda. There's still a few to Linda because people are just plainly stupid, but they've moved over to Peter Moore and suddenly they're like, sign Keita, sign VVD, and just sending him, and with that voice, of course, that voice is accurate. Sign VVD. Anyway, so I think he's done that on purpose. I genuinely think he's a man enough to actually do that, knowing in his position, he will not detract, but he will funnel the hate away from Linda and take it on himself, and he's good enough to handle that.
Because to be fair, she gets dogs of you. She really, really does. And some of it is proper nasty as well.
Well, so, some people that kind of do that, and they you know, like, and I mentioned to this guy shortly before the pod started, is that the level of duplicity around people having multiple accounts and abusing, like you said, around Linda and John and obviously Peter. And Peter, what people forget is people say, oh, Peter Moore's coming and this and that. The guy is an elite businessman. In terms of the business perspective, the club is going to drive us on exponentially, and people should not underestimate the business experience that he has because he is a top level executive. But what you said around him unprotected his account and kind of saying, do you know what, come at me, because it's a very, very good point that you mentioned, Ish, and I 100% agree that he's done that because like you said, he's thought, do you know what, don't come at Linda. You want to open your big mouth? Come at me. I can handle it, and I can handle myself a lot better than you can. So. And these people, they just love kind of, you know, they sit there, you know, with their anonymity, and they think they're clever and they think they're smart, but they're not. They're just stupid, you know, idiotic, immature people that are kind of having to go at him and having to go at Linda and other people. It's like, do you know what? Grow up, you know, be part of the real world and actually get out there and do something with your life rather than sitting behind your monitor and having to go at people for no reason.
Yeah, I think for me, the one thing that made me really chuckle, I think I might have sent it to you guys, and I certainly retweeted it, at Robbo, Robbo68Roberts, who did the, he took the Mo Salah face and then he put his mouth and then sang the "Oh Everton, we're laughing at you" for 41 seconds, just singing a song. And it was,
that's classic, that was.
Just gotta love that. Really, really made me smile. Almost as much as joe.co.uk, who were doing the Game of Thrones singing songs, where they've literally just edited all of their words from the scripts and from the TV show and turned it into full 2-minute songs, which was just bizarre. But no, that for me absolutely nailed it this week. I thought it was very, very amusing. Very amusing.
I've got a question for you guys. It's totally different topic. Just in terms of the moves that we're making and people were being linked with for midfield roles, and we've already got quite a strong array, I think, of midfield players. In pre-season, before the start of last season, Grujic was performing well, scoring goals, looking like a great addition to the squad. And then obviously he spent most of last year injured. But he seems to have become a bit of the forgotten man of Anfield, and there doesn't seem to be any excitement for him coming into the team. And even when he was fit towards the end of the last season, didn't seem to play much of a role. I just wondered whether you guys think he has much of a future at Anfield, and whether we'll see more of him in the new season.
Good question. I think this is one of those things where heads get turned by looking at possible other players coming in and everything else. And I think actually it's not just Grujic when you look at other players that we're talking about coming in, and all of a sudden we start to look away from those that did really well for us last season. And I think you know, when we look at the signings that are coming in. So I think our heads have been turned a little bit. I still think that he will play a part this season. I think, you know, it was all about him strengthening and building up and getting to a point where he could, you know, start to have a bigger role within the first team. And I think that will be the case. I genuinely think that'll be the case next season. I think it's, there are some players that are a work in progress. And I think the big plus for us this season, obviously, is that we're going to have European football of some description. So because we've got something of some description, there will be more opportunities with more game time out there as well. So I expect to see Grealish become a bigger figure, I think. And for the point of just bringing in height and everything else as well, that he brings in. And to be fair, when he's come on, he's done all right. I didn't think he did bad when he got the opportunities. The problem was the opportunities were few and far between.
That's an interesting point that you've raised, Rich. Is it Grealish or Grealish?
I thought it was Grealish.
Okay, that's me. I've got it wrong, obviously. But yeah,
no, no, I've heard a lot of scousers call him Grujic, and a lot of people on Anfield Rap have called him that. So I don't know who's right. I'm sticking with Grujic. It's easy for me. Who knows? We're probably all wrong. It's Gerald. Marco Gerald.
I mean, the other thing is with the other players. I mean, if we were to sign Naby Keita, however you want to pronounce it. You're getting me questioning my pronunciations now. So who's he replacing? Who's he coming into the first team squad for? Are we ditching Ginny out?
I agree. And I think a lot of people have kind of said, oh, Naby Keita this, Naby Keita that. I'm talking from someone that watches a lot of Bundesliga and for me, and I've been watching it since 1997, is one of the best talents I've ever seen in the Bundesliga in the last 20 years. So I think to get him at 50 or 60 million is absolutely worth every single penny, because for me, he offers so much in terms of that number eight role or that type of person that could actually, you know, fill the void that we've been missing in that midfield position. I think Naby Keita is a fantastic acquisition if it happens. If it doesn't happen this summer and his release clause comes into effect next summer, trust me, he won't come to Liverpool. Because the season that he's going to have in Germany, if he stays there, there's going to be Barcelona, Real Madrid. Those guys are going to come knocking for him, and he won't come to Liverpool. Now's the best opportunity to get him. And I just feel that if they're pushing on 70 million, we need to kind of say, if Klopp wants him and he values him at 60 million, then go to 65 and get him. Because next summer's not going to happen if that clause comes into effect.
Yeah, he goes straight to Bayern if that happens.
Start tweeting Peter Moore on that.
I think not.
I just think every time anyone tweets something out, we just have to put announce Keita. Constantly.
Yeah, definitely. I think that will work. I think the Liverpool board will listen to us and they'll get the job done just because we've tweeted that.
Well, to be fair, you're closer to the Liverpool board, so you should just be popping around and having a chat with them, mate. You know, we've got a little bit of distance to go to get up there. Mads is closer than me.
There is the restraining order to consider, though, Rich, so I just have to hold up a sign from a certain distance and maybe that'll get the job done.
I thought that was only against Ian Air.
to be honest, I think we should hire a plane and just have it say, announce Keita.
Now, that's a great idea, Mads. No one's done anything like that before.
Yeah, no one's ever thought of anything as obtuse as doing something like that. So I think we could go ahead with that. We could just literally say, and now we could do it all the time. We could say anything, just announce Keita, announce VVD, you know, and announce Sing Fonga doing a £1.99 curry sauce and chip special. Just anything, we can do all of them.
Just for the record, I'm not subject to any restraining order at the moment.
At the moment. I love the way you put at the moment. So there's potential for that to change.
I like that caveat. So it's open to interpretation whereby stalky capabilities of Matty Lyon can come into effect at any point.
Yeah. There's no restraining order at the moment, but the time I've been out on the town on a Saturday night, once we've signed Virgil van Dijk, there's every chance that there will be a restraining order in place on me by the end of it.
No, I'm a very responsible ITK, you know that.
You are a very responsible ITK. What does that even mean anymore?
I know people who know people who tell me stuff.
Oh, he's got a friend of a mother's uncle, of an aunt, of a friend who works in a shop. You know, just really stop already. It literally is. It's just a calculated guess, isn't it? It's, do you know what? I'm going to put it out there now that X is going to sign in the next 3 weeks. Well, there's a good chance that someone's going to be right at some point along the lines. And then it'll be, oh, I broke this first. You broke nothing. Well, I broke a sweat trying to type it, but that's about as much as you did. So looking at the time and seeing that this time is flying by, and, I just really wanted to.
It has flown.
These pods always do.
Jesus.
We're almost up to the hour mark. If you could have one wish and keep it clean, one wish for something to happen in the next 7 days. Sorry, Nish, you got to keep it clean. Not on my pod. All right. Not on my pod.
What a sports sport.
No mess on the couch. Okay. Keep it clean.
Sorry, boss.
It's bad enough. We've had to put the plastic covers on after you were on it the other day. So, one wish for this week coming up for the next 7 days, what would it be? And it doesn't have to be LFC related. Anyone? No one's got a wish? Nads, come on. You're always
I'll go first. And this is, it's not a great thing to touch upon, but it's something that has kind of affected me. It affected me in a similar way that kind of what happened with Stephen Sutter. Just for the next 7 days, all I want is for Bradley Larry to have, you know, in terms of whatever happens in the next week or two or whatever, but certainly for the next 7 days, in terms of you saying what would happen next day, it's just that him to have some time with his parents whereby he's not suffering and he's not in any pain. And if anything does happen to him whereby, you know, sadly he passed away, that he does so without kind of suffering any more pain that he doesn't need to go through.
Good shout, buddy. You're going to set Nish off. Yeah. That's Nish gone. We've lost Nish already.
For me last, so I can chill for a bit. And then
yeah, Matty.
I can't wish for anything else other than I wish in support of what Nads has just said. All the best to him and his family.
Well, I think we've kind of all found our combined wish, I guess. So I guess that would be the podcasting couch's wish. That he has
another one. Sorry, we can't leave on a note like that, even though it's the best bloody shout in the world. But I think my one's a bit obvious as well. Oh, Andy Robertson. Oh, Andy Robertson. Sorry, that's my chant. I've created it.
Can you believe that my very first only hosted podcast for the LFC podcasting couch, and it ends with Nish chanting?
Big fish Nish.
Andy Robertson.
To be fair, you know, and people have kind of thrown his name out, and certainly a lot more people have thrown his name out there today. Listen, he's a definitive left back. He plays as a left back. He knows how to play as a left back. Where's the issue? If it's someone that Klopp wants, get it done. Get him signed. Give him the number 3 shirt. Starting left back. Done.
And on that note, get it done. #. Sign Robertson. Whatever it is we're going to end it with.
Announce Robinson.
That's it. Announce Robertson. That's the end of the podcast. Hope you've all enjoyed it. Hopefully we'll be back with another bro pod really, really soon. It's been a great time. Nish, Nads, big time, Matty Line. Thank you very much. And to Benji Bear sitting on a beach in Jamaica, Irie.
Irie and Irie.
Thanks, Rich. You're a legend.
Lovely cushion header. But Gerard! Yakuza!